Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 2 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
Menards is your electrical headquarters. We carry all the tools and testers you need for any electrical job. Stack up your toolbox with Southwire electrical products today. Right now, save big money on Southwire electrical tools, testers, cable ties, wire, and cable. Shop our huge selection in store at Menards. Ranked number one in customer satisfaction among home improvement retailers according to J.D. Power. For more information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Save big money at Menards.
The world of 911 emergency dispatching is brutally diverse. One minute you can be talking with someone about parking violations.
What's the process we are to take to have people towed? Because it's actually delaying the mail.
And then all hell can break loose. Then the rest of the day is crazy. We could have murders.
Hill County 911, what's your emergency?
I just killed my children.
Home invasions.
He's in my house.
I shot him.
You shot him?
He was coming up towards me and I shot him.
Natural disasters.
Tornado came through and got us. I'm buried under a bunch of all my rap.
Even bombings. My show, Music City 911, will put you in the dispatcher's chair. Put you ear to ear with the callers and responders. And keep you on edge from start to finish. I hope to both educate and entertain, as I'm a 911 dispatcher with over 20 years experience. And just like dispatching, every episode is different from the last. Music City 911. Real 911 calls. Real 911 dispatchers. Available to listen to on any podcast app.
Last time on Frightful, we met Alec Porter, a property developer who thought he discovered his dream project, but the large British farmhouse he had purchased had a reputation for being haunted, with stories of a dark and weirdly tall spectre stalking the lanes around his house. Alec ignored these silly legends, but soon the building team were facing strange banging sounds, and Alec himself was almost killed when a concrete flower pot inexplicably fell near his head. But that was nothing compared to when the architects discovered a hidden room on the first floor, and when Alec and his team hammered a hole in that wall, they saw something lurking inside that secret space. A terrifying black figure that crawled from the hole. What on earth had they unleashed? We pick up the story with Alec rushing home to London, his mind spinning after what must surely be an undeniable encounter with the paranormal. And yet, when he called his friend to share the stress of it all, he was met with an unexpected response. Perhaps Alec had hoped for some sort of astonishment or sympathy, but his friend just rolled his eyes and laughed at him. Now, his friend was scientifically minded with a good knowledge of history and old houses, and somehow this friend had listened to Alec's tale and had come up with a pretty quick solution to what he believed the three men had experienced back in the farmhouse.
What's so funny, dammit?
Now look, old boy, I appreciate you're rather shaken by this incident, but I think you'll find there's very little to be concerned about. You know, some of those old houses used to build special rooms that were specifically designed to let smoke and kitchen vapors escape into them. Right. To stop it stinking up the house, you see. Uh-huh. They had chimneys to let out the smell, but it's quite likely that they built the third floor on top of that.
What?
Perhaps they extended the chimneys. Whatever the case, birds could have easily gotten into the chimneys and flew down into that hidden room and nest there, you understand? Hmm. That explains your hidden noises. Just a bunch of birds flapping about that you can't see.
Yeah,
of course, the chimneys get built up with soot over the years. That room is probably thick with the bloody stuff.
Right.
So along you come with your old pickaxe and you smash a hole in the wall. The breeze blowing in from the rest of the house could easily have whipped up a vortex, you know, a mini whirlwind. It does happen. And that soot cloud would have just sucked up into that vortex and out into the landing. You lot are standing there staring at it, thinking it's the figure of a man. And of course, the birds are in panic because you've disturbed their nests. And so they start a squawking, flapping, shrieking. That explains all your strange monkey sounds, I suppose. So basically, look, I know it sounds like a frightening experience, but each of the elements you've told me are, well, frankly, totally explainable. So, what do you think about that?
Alec pondered this, and while his instinct may have told him that what he saw was impossible to explain, there was at least some thread of logic to what his friend had said. And when you're in the midst of stuff like this, you do grab onto anything that might explain it rationally. And it all happened so fast, after all. Maybe Alec was getting sucked into the paranoia of the locals. And besides, if he allowed the fear of this so-called spectral figure to scare him off his dream project, wouldn't he just be falling into the same silly superstitions as the builders he had judged only a few days before? And so he decided, okay, actually, maybe you're right. Maybe that does explain it. And so Alec decided to give this farmhouse one more try. And so he did. He drove up, and it really would be his last ever attempt at understanding the power of the thing in that house. Alex made his way to the farmhouse, only this time he took something with him. A crucifix that had belonged to his grandmother. She was a devout Catholic, and so he thought, who knows, maybe it was better to just hedge his bets and take something religious with him. And so he arrived at the house about noon that day, and he took a deep breath with the crucifix in his hand, pushed through the front door, went through the hallway, creaked up the staircase, and stood, finally, on the landing where it had all happened. And there it was, just as he had left it, the ragged hole in the wall. There was no black figure in front of it, but still he was haunted by the memory of what he had seen. And at that point he thought, what the hell? There's no one here. What would it hurt? And he lifted the crucifix in front of his face, and he held it out, and he started walking along the landing towards the hole, like he was approaching Count Dracula or something. It was awkward, and it was strange, and he was not a man of faith particularly. And in fact, he admitted to Parsons that what he was doing was informed more from horror movies that he had seen rather than church. But he decided to try and say the sorts of stuff he'd seen priests say in scary movies. And tentatively, he began to call out,
If you're the devil, I command you to leave.
Up to that point, maybe he had wondered if his rational friend had been right all along, because nothing occurred out of the ordinary until he finished that half-baked prayer ripped from the lines of a horror film.
In the name of Jesus.
When he finished saying those religious words, the hallway exploded in sound. He threw his palms across his ears at the incredible noise, at what seemed like, well, like a church bell, hammering and hammering away. But even more scary, he could hear the totally distinct pounding of footsteps, as if something he could not see was stomping towards the landing towards him right in this moment. And if he thought that was frightening enough, everything cranked up a notch when the steps and pounding reached a crescendo next to him, and he felt something close yet totally invisible to the naked eye slam into him and push him to the floor. The crucifix fell from his hand, skittered across the landing, and he just lay there, curled up in total confusion and shuddering fear, as he heard amongst it all the sound of a voice from a mouth that could not be seen and yet was loud enough to be right up to his ear. And the voice just barked at him a series of blasphemous, shocking and terrifying obscenities, screaming them into his face. Traumatized by all of this, he started to clamber up to his feet, and he managed just about to finally stand. And when he stood, he saw something that is so weird and so ridiculous that anyone might think they had gone stark, raving mad to have witnessed it. He told Parsons that the crucifix he had just dropped was now hanging in the air. Like it was hovering, held by unseen hands. But those invisible fingers were prying the crucifix apart. You know, if you ever see a crucifix with a metal or wooden Jesus hanging on it, then it's probably likely to be a Catholic cross, while Protestants often use an empty cross because they feel that symbolizes that Jesus is no longer on the cross but is risen from the dead. Well, remember that Alec's grandmother was from the Catholic tradition, and so this cross had a little Jesus hanging on it made of brass. And right now, he was seeing that cross hovering in the air while this brass Jesus figure was being prized off it. And then he specifically told Parsons that the small figure seemed to pull back, quote, like a dart about to be thrown, and it just sprang forward, hurtling through the air at him. He managed to throw himself to the side, but the little figure just hit him in the arm, like the sharp edges, you know, after it had been torn off the cross, slammed into the skin at such force and speed that it instantly cut the skin. Seemed to stick there. A protruding part of it was embedded in his flesh. Parsons' case notes describe Alec's condition in this moment. And I'll quote them directly because I think they reveal Alec's state of mind at that exact moment. It says,
"Gibbering with terror, he half crawled, half stumbled towards the door while the tolling of the bell seemed to grow louder."
Gibbering with terror. An understandable reaction. Though Alec could vividly remember this incident, he had no memory of what happened next, of getting into the car or of driving away. The escape from the house seemed to be a blur for him. That's not an uncommon occurrence for people who face trauma, like car accidents, for example. But his recall eventually kicked back in from about a few hours later when, at about 4 o'clock, he was able to get some medical help for the arm that had been injured. And he realized that he was hundreds of miles away from the house. Once he got his arm sorted and he managed to calm down somewhat, he made the call to the estate agents. He told them he wanted nothing to do with the property anymore. They had to sell it. And no, he wouldn't return to sort anything out. They'd have to do everything. He was clear on the phone that he never, ever wanted to see that property again. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels that there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she's decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also supports the Jason Debers Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dog's food can often come with meat meal, byproduct, or preservatives that can cause health issues for many dogs. Superfood Complete doesn't contain any of that stuff. It's just packed with the good things dogs need. No wonder dogs across America and their owners are loving this stuff. Go to badlandsranch.com/frightful and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dogs to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/frightful today.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices, all in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice Bone-In Tender Ribeye Steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5, then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Colin Parsons interviewed Alec Porter for a book, and he confirmed that Alec really did have a prominent scar where the little Jesus figure had supposedly stabbed into him. Parsons was open to the account, but there was one aspect of it that did niggle him: the location. He actually knew the area where Alec had said this house had been, because for a while Parsons used to meet a woman he knew in a pub in the village that is just next to where the farm was supposed to have stood. And yet Parsons felt a little skeptical about this point because he was sure that whenever he drove to the pub, he never passed an old farmhouse, but rather a large housing estate. So, after the interview, Parsons decided to have a little drive, and he made his way to the same area.
found the pub. And sure enough, there was a housing estate right in the area where Alec had claimed this had all happened. So Parsons rolled his car slowly through the estate, just looking at the houses and trying to figure out what houses might possibly occupy the space that used to be where the old farmhouse stood. And this is when he became surprised. In the UK, housing estates, which are basically collections of various styles of houses, often take a substantial footprint. And developers seem to squeeze as many houses into the space as they can. We are a pretty small country after all. Which was why Parsons was surprised to discover a prime area of the site that seemed completely underdeveloped. This didn't make a lot of sense, because this area was really well situated and had fantastic quick access to the nearby village and the shops and the pub. He slowed down, got out of his car to look, and yeah. All around this stretch of land, in both directions, the houses were crammed in. This patch, however, was empty and untouched, just wild grass. And there was room for two houses there. Why had it been left? Parsons worked not only as a researcher and author, but as a journalist. And so he decided to take his press pass to the building company who had developed this site. He flashed his pass and asked them, why is there a section of this estate that is untouched? Eventually, the builders admitted that they had planned to build on that little stretch. But there had been a significant amount of accidents on that spot during the estate's construction. Parsons pressed further, and he was told that four laborers had lost their lives while they were attempting to demolish an old farmhouse on that ground. They brought in bulldozers to knock the walls down, but something went wrong and the four men were killed in a partial collapse. They also admitted that two further men had been killed inside the building by falling bricks and masonry. This was such a disaster for the company that the demolishing of that particular building was abandoned for a while until they figured out how they could safely bring the structure down. Parsons asked them how they had managed to remove it because he'd just been there and clearly there was nothing on that spot. He kept pushing for an answer and eventually they handed him a newspaper clipping, which they had kept on file. The short article was about a motorist who was passing by the construction site and the old farmhouse that was now cordoned off when the motorist reported something very unusual on the old collapsing house's roof. He saw a man, or at least what looked like a man. Yet this figure seemed to be dressed in black from head to toe. And what's more, he was shockingly tall, remarkably so, and yet he was up there, climbing over the rooftop like a spider in the sun. Alarmed, the motorist called the police and they rushed out to the building site and were shocked to find that when they arrived, the house was on fire. And I mean completely on fire from top to bottom. The police would normally have called the fire brigade to put it out, but they were well aware of how dangerous this structure had been. You know, the builders who'd recently lost their lives there. So presumably after consultation, it was decided to leave the house to burn to the ground. The emergency services would just monitor the burn to make sure nothing spread. And it didn't, because there was nothing around to spread to. And when the house had been reduced to ash and rubble, a team was sent in to clear the site. At least now, it would be safe. But some of the team were injured while they were simply clearing up the debris. Finally, once the site was clear and all signs of the old farmhouse were gone, you might think this would be the end of it, but no. The builders decided to press ahead with the next part of the estate, and so they laid the foundations for those two new houses. But during the laying of that foundation, a man was injured so badly, in fact, that he lost his life. And once that happened, the other builders just flat out refused to do any work on that particular plot of land. The developers told them they had no choice, that this was part of the planned works and to get on with the job, but the union backed the builders. And so the building company gave in and they just sacrificed two of their houses so that this patch of land would be left empty and undeveloped, just as Parsons had seen it. It's frustrating that Parsons never specifically names the actual estate where this occurs, as we could have potentially tried to verify the deaths in the building works. But he agreed secrecy for the people involved. Yet when I googled the phrase, four men killed during building works, I was shocked. There were countless news reports of labourers dying on UK construction sites. Which is awful, of course, and it's frustrating for us because finding a specific vague case amongst that would be like finding the proverbial needle in a haystack. But that Google list did make me realize that deaths on construction sites are not rare at all. They do happen. So the idea of multiple people being killed during the creation of a housing estate is not as overdramatic as it might initially sound. It does occur. And one of the witnesses himself, Alec Porter. Well, Parsons said he interviewed him at length and he had the scar. And there was very little reason for this man to make this stuff up. Unfortunately, I was unable to contact Colin Parsons for comment because sadly he died in 1992. Though his work has been vouched by others like Gavin Valentine and the Huddersfield Daily Examiner newspaper. And so we're left with this perplexing case, which leaves us with questions. Number one, if this really did happen, then who or what was this tall black figure that was said to have stalked the lanes around the house, but then was seen crouching and hiding inside that hidden room? Two, why was this entity so resistant to visitors or renovations that it responded in an almost mad panic, a frantic malevolence to hold on to its own space? And perhaps more to the point, three, where is this land today? I wonder if someone out there knows. Remember, Parsons said that Alec Porter found this farmhouse in 1969, so do you know of any farmhouses in Britain with a history like that, or a building development that had accidents that fit the bill of this case? Parsons says that there is some sort of plaque in memory of the lost workers. Well, if you do know about this, get in touch. I'd love to dive in more. But for now, maybe just ask yourself question number four. Do you live on a housing estate near a village which happens to have a small patch of undeveloped land? Do you know why it's undeveloped? What if that thing still lives there? Which might sound ridiculous, but did you notice that the burning of the house didn't get rid of it? Because if the death during the foundation laying afterwards had anything to do with this thing, it implies that the thing was still there, even after every grain of the house had been cleared. I must admit, I do find the image chilling of a newish housing estate somewhere in the UK, which you would never class as a place to be haunted. It's not some old Gothic mansion. And yet, it's the place where a jealous and possessive entity holds on to its little patch of land. And who knows? Maybe this tall and spindly figure stalks the streets in the dead of night just as it did the lanes around the farmhouse, searching for, who knows, but always, always returning to the place that it called and forever will call home. I'm Peter Laws, and you've been listening to The Fatal Fixer Upper on Frightful. For another case of a truly malevolent haunting, then check out my two-part episode about Ghost Attack, the thing in the house. And if you want more from me and want to support my work, then please would you consider checking out patreon.com/PeterLaws. But for now, keep your eye on the shadows. They might just have their eyes on you. Good night.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices, all in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5, then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.